Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. Hey, before we start, I want to thank all of the people. Thank you so much. I posted a thing on my blog earlier today. I was stupid. I was trying to modify a plastic jack-o'-lantern thing to go on our porch light at our house here, and remember, kids, always use the knife cutting away from you, never towards you. I forgot that and just sliced the heck out of my hand. But so I posted a thing about it and got all these messages and people. Thank you so much for all that. I'm fine. I did not go to the hospital. I was our friend hydrogen peroxide and alcohol cleaned it all out and everything's fine. So yes. But I appreciate that. It's nice to know that, you know, people care if I'm missing a thumb or something. No, it wasn't that bad. Anyway, tonight we've got a fantastic band out of the Dallas area. It's a alternative metal band called Dark Avenue. Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Very good.
Awesome. Thanks for having us.
Nice. Yes, of course. Thanks for taking time to be on the show. I appreciate it. You guys kick ass. You guys are amazing. I love the new single. Tell us a little bit about how Dark Avenue came about. It's kind of an interesting story.
I guess I'll run with it. So back in, 2013, Mario and Jeff and I were in another project called Pistol Whip and Ike. And our other guitar player was kind of taking a hiatus. He and his wife were having another kid. And our bass player was taking a hiatus and playing in another band. So it gave me the opportunity, since we had some free time, to work on some stuff that I'd been kicking around in my head. And so it kind of started a side project. And eventually Mario fell into it, and then eventually Jeff fell into it, and then we kind of got it going, and that led to, we were playing with a guitar player out of Tennessee that had recently moved to Dallas, and a bass player from another band here in Dallas, from a band called Daylight Industries, that had always wanted to do a side project with us. And that's how it all kind of started off. And we wrote a couple of tunes and recorded a demo of a song called Seasons Change, and it landed in the hands of some people down that had something to do with the Big Texas Rock Fest during South by Southwest. And they're like, hey, we really dig this song. We want you guys to come and play. And this was in, December of that year. And, of course, South by Southwest was in March. We're like, we better write some more songs. So we wrote just enough songs to play the set with. And then that spring, both Jonathan, the other guitar player, and Barry Townsend went back to their previous projects, because we had always had an agreement that, you know, this was a side project. If they needed to go back to their home projects, they would. And that ushered in the openings for Andrew and Alan to join the band. And that's been our permanent lineup since 2014.
Nice.
And that's kind of,
nice,
in a nutshell, how it all kind of started. And with everything, 2014, when we launched it, it happened very quickly. And we started to gain a pretty good following pretty quickly. And so we ended up making this the permanent project and kind of shelved Pistol Whip and Ike, which was sort of at the end of its run anyway. We'd had a pretty good run with that for a good 10, 12 years. So
it was time to move on.
And it was the perfect time to do it.
Well, you know, it's cool. A lot of creative people, and not just musicians and bands and whatnot, this brings up something very important that I've seen. Now, I'm not in the music business. I'm a painter. I paint pictures of people. It's what I do. And I've been doing that for a long time. Too long. I'm kidding. But something I've seen with friends in creative projects, whether it be, you know, art, traditional visual art or music or whatever, you know, is the inability, and it's a big handicap for a lot of people to adapt and to know, okay, well, that's run its course. Now we got to do this. And I think it's cool because it keeps things fresh as an artist. But man, that's hard to do sometimes. And it's cool that you guys recognize that and channel this energy into this new project, which seemed to resonate with everybody. Everybody seemed to dig it, you know?
Yeah. And it's really cool because Mario and Jeff and I, you know, we had played together for so long, we already had the chemistry. And then when Andrew came in, it's like he had been there from day one. And then Alan was the same way. And it's great because the chemistry is great. We've all been friends. We get along. We have a lot of fun when we play. In fact, we jack around
That's
more
awesome.
During rehearsal, I think, than we rehearse. So it's always a good.
Well, that's good, though. That's good. Not a lot of bands can say that. You know, Errol Smith, I'm looking at you. No, I'm teasing. oh, man. I just finished reading a book about the whole Van Halen years. And, oh, my God. I mean, I'm surprised more of the people weren't on drugs just from the stress, you know.
Right.
Imagine, you know, they're making all this money, and they got to keep doing it because, you know, swimming pools ain't cheap, and then you got to go to work every day with just people you hate. You know, I'm like, oh, and smile. That's got to be
right.
A drag. But you guys don't have that problem. You guys are all, you know, you guys are doing it, and that's cool, and it's inspiring. That's very, very cool. Now, I was reading on your website something I did not know. I wasn't aware of the scene in Dallas, how it was kind of a fractured scene. I don't know if fractured is the right word. But it was definitely more genre specific, and you guys kind of bridged that gap between the hard metal and the alternative metal. That's cool.
Yeah, like the Fort Worth side of the scene was always the heavier side, you know, more of the Pantera type and much heavier side, and then the Dallas scene. You know, it had its hard rock bands. It had a lot of alternative bands. And we just happened to find this niche where, you know, if you were to solo out Mario's vocals from the music and hear the music's actually quite heavy. But then when you put his vocals on top, it just has this magical effect to it that doesn't make it seem as heavy. And it gives our music, you know, a really broad appeal. Which we're very fortunate
awesome.
With.
That's awesome. You hear that, ladies and gentlemen? When you go to a Dark Avenue show, you're going to melt your face off. You're going to rock out, but you can bring your girl. And that means you'll probably be smooching later. That's a good thing. It's
we
hard.
That.
Yeah, of course, you know, and I'm not putting anybody down. I love a good Pantera track, you know, but it isn't necessarily something you put on when you're set in the mood, if you know what I'm saying.
Right.
Well, I have met a girl or two would be the exception to that rule, but for the most part. Well, that's cool, man, because you guys are hitting broad appeal and, you know, different genre people. And I bet the clubs and the owners and the venues are digging that as well, because that just means more people in their establishments. And that's fantastic, you know?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. At first, it was kind of challenging when we were booking shows because we would get misbilled a lot.
Mm.
And, you know, we'd always get stuck on bills with much heavier bands. And then by the time we got on stage, you know, sometimes the venues weren't as populated as they first were. Not saying that there's, you know, anything wrong with that. It's just when you have a mixed bill, the fans don't necessarily know, you know, who's playing when and whatnot, and it's not always
right.
The best draw. it makes you feel like
that. And at that time, we didn't have the following that we have now, where it was just more organic, you know, people just walking into a bar, you know, and of course, you know, a few of friends that were kind of there to support us. And, I mean, oftentimes they would just go to another bar, grab a beer, and then come back by the time we were on. So, but it's much different now, which is really
cool. I hear you. Well, you know, and it's, like you were saying, it's track record, you know, and you build that following. And then, you know, it's all those people are there. That's a good thing. And I think one of the, and again, I'm no expert. I'm just, you know, a guy with weird hair that's seen a few things. But I think one of the things is very smart, like you guys are doing, is you guys play a lot of these festivals and whatnot. And that's real big there in that part of the country. And those are great, you know, because you're putting, you know, there's thousands and thousands of people that may not have known you before. And they're like, hey, man, these guys are pretty awesome. We're going to check them out next time. You know, next time they see them in the alternative press and whatnot. That's a good thing. It's a very, very good thing.
Yeah. Rocklahoma was amazing for us. And it was really a launch pad for everything that's happened over the summer and into the fall so far this year. So it was absolutely phenomenal to be able to play Rocklahoma this year.
It's a big deal, man. I have friends here in located in South Florida, and I have friends in South Florida, man, they save up all year long just to go to that, you know, and it's, they fly out and spend the week, and it's fantastic. Same with South by Southwest and all of that. It's, you know, those are fantastic venues. And you see a lot of a real diverse type of artists there too, which I think is fantastic. Yeah. Now, how did you guys know? Were you guys involved with Curtain Call before that? Curtain Call Records, I should say, before that happened, or after? Or how
after
your relationship?
We were actually with a different management company beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Curtain Call knew of us prior to that, and, you know, because we had submitted some stuff to them, and, you know, their daily kind of stuff, shout outs and stuff.
Mm.
But we didn't have a working relationship with them, but we knew that they knew of us. And then they had a couple of people at Rocklahoma specifically to check us out. And they had one of their interviewers come over and came over to our bus one afternoon and sat down with us as well. But they scoped us out up there, and it just timing was right. Our contract with our prior company was expiring right after that, and the timing was right. And you know, we did more. We're doing more with Curtain Call than we were doing with our prior company. Our prior company was just a management contract, and with Curtain Call, we're not only doing management, but we're also doing a full distribution deal with them as well for the new album.
That's fantastic. That is awesome. And that brings up a very good point. You know, we get a lot of new bands and people kind of starting out that road, people that want to be where you guys are at, you know? And one of the things I think that's difficult, especially for new bands and whatnot, is they don't realize the business side of it. And, you know, it is the music business, and you have to learn these things, usually through trial and error. But
yeah,
it sounds like you guys have a pretty good handle on it, so, you know.
Well, man, you know, but you said it. You know, when you start in a band or when you make a decision to make music your career, you got to define it. You got to think about, okay, am I doing this for fun? Or, you know, am I doing this for real? And, you know, if it's just for fun, then you don't have to worry about that's part of it. And you can just hang out with your friends and have a good time, play some music. But, you know, if you're serious and passionate and you have a talent and you have the desire to do this, you know, unfortunately, you know, there's a business side of it that you got to take care of. But we're very fortunate to have people around us that do the best that they can to isolate us from some of that part so we can just focus on
on the music.
Right.
So that's when it starts getting, you know, even more fun. You know, not that it's not, but, you know, at times it's just,
no.
It can get a little
taxing. Absolutely. I'm sure it's much more fun to be rocking out on stage, you know, at a big festival or making an album or something than taking meetings with accountants. You know, not that I'm putting down accountants. They're very important. Oh, man.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Did you hear the news? Metro PCS is now Metro by T-Mobile. Now you get new plans with unlimited high-speed data all month long, all on the T-Mobile network. Check out the new Metro by T-Mobile today and discover the smarter way to get unlimited. Metro by T-Mobile. That's genius. During congestion, the fraction of customers using greater than 35 gigs per month may notice reduced speeds, and Metro customers may notice reduced speeds versus some T-Mobile customers. Video streams at 480p. Coverage not available in some areas. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Metal Babe Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool. And these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
Another thing you said, you know, is a lot of trial and error, and that's absolutely, absolutely true. You know, when we were in Pistol Whip and Ike, you know, we didn't have a lot of help, and so we had to kind of navigate the waters ourselves. So there was a lot of trial and error there, and a lot of good lessons and a lot of bad lessons. And one of the things that we did, before we launched this band, before we ever launched, we had everything ready to go before we came out to the world. We had, you know, all of our logos, our image.
Nice.
We knew what our sound was going to be. We had our domains locked down. We had our, you know, name registered as a DBA. And we thought about all that kind of stuff before we launched because – from lessons learned. So it was, it helped prepare us for when things did take off. It helped prepare us for that.
Well, absolutely. And it's like you said it, you know, fantastically. If, and there's nothing wrong with having fun. And but when you get serious and you got you know, responsibilities and stuff, you you know, you start buying houses and you know, having families and things like that.
Yeah.
You got to get
We're
serious
not very
with
serious
it. You know what I mean?
People, but we take this very seriously.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I hear you. I was at a party. This was probably a few months ago, and a young guy came up and he's like, "Oh, you know, you're a painter, you're an artist." And I said, "Yeah, you know." And he was either that or deliver pizzas. And don't get me wrong, I like a good pizza. But he's like, "That's what I want to do. I want to sit around and paint all day." And I said, I would love to do that too. But I said, "I'll be honest with you. You know, you're looking at 16, 17 hour days." Not as something strange. That's a Tuesday. That's a normal day. And about four of that, maybe five, will be painting. You know, the rest is talking to lawyers and, you know, just all that fun stuff, all the behind the scenes stuff nobody knows about. And I'm sure you guys are in the same boat, you know. And especially you got a new album coming out, you know, a lot of people think, oh, they made an album. They just went into it. They have this glamorized version of I think what it is, people not in the business. They, you know, oh, he went into a studio, hung out for a month and, you know, recorded it. Well, there's a little more to it than that. And it's usually not. Some people do, but tell us a little bit about the new album and that process of that coming together.
So, well, I'll start on part of it, and I'll let the other guys jump in. So, one of the things we're very fortunate, we have our own studio and facilities to be able to record in.
Nice.
And then also the way that we rehearse through this device that when we have an idea, we capture our idea right then and there, so that we're always able to come back to it. Whether it's a couple of months later, like, hey, that song that we worked on a few months ago, we have it, and then we can go back through and kind of work it out. But we're fortunate that we have facilities to record all of our own material. And so we have a really organic process of recording and writing. I'll let Mario kind of expand on it because he's really – organic when he does his vocals in the studio.
Like, talking about?
Your writing process, Mario. How does that?
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Well, the day of recording.
Yeah. You don't know until he starts.
Yeah,
man, and that's the part that Barry was talking about with being organic is that you know, the songs for me are never end until I'm in the studio, especially with the writing process. I mean, there's been times that, you know, we schedule a session to record vocals and I'm still writing lyrics as I go, just because you don't know what you're feeling in that moment. So you try to capture, you know,
right.
Lyrically and vocally what you're trying to do, you know, with Jeff, our drummer, you know, he's got to be more specific and more on point because he's going to carry that, the bulk and the bass of the song with Alan. So where I have a little more, well, I don't say a little, I said where I have all the freedom to do whatever I want up until the point that we're literally standing in front of the mic, hitting the record button to get ready to lay down some lines. So, you know, it's truly allowed me to, it just makes the process less stressful because we're able to adapt and, you know, make the song more dynamic if it needs it. So,
yeah, it's pretty
That's
cool.
Fantastic.
We'll have the idea, the basic idea for the song. And then Jeff will come in and, he'll record his drums, to some scratch guitar tracks. And once we get his drums down solid, we'll take his drum track and then myself and Alan and Andrew will come in and then we'll re-record the bass and guitar tracks and, you know, spice them up or change them if we need to change them because now that we've actually heard them recorded, is there anything we need to adjust? And so, again, just like Mario's vocals, the guitars are sometimes very organic, too. You know, we'll have the basic foundation, but then when we come in the studio, we may change them up a little bit. And then we kind of lay that stuff down. And then, like Mario said, he literally will come in and sometimes be writing the lyrics as he's singing them. We'll roll them back, listen to them, and go, you know what, let's sleep on them for a day. And then come back, listen to them, and he may like them or he may want to change them up a little bit. And we've been, like I said, very fortunate that we have the ability to do that because it doesn't put a lot of stress on everybody, and it allows
right.
us to be a lot more creative with our music.
No, it's fantastic. That's fantastic. I mean, because you're absolutely right. I have so many friends that, man, they go into the studio, and it's like, you know, the Normandy invasion or something. They've got – because, frankly, you know, just for the fact that going in a traditional studio is like riding in a cab. That meter's running when you go in there, you know, and it ain't cheap. So you better know what the hell you're doing, you know.
Yeah.
It'd be a lot of time wasted.
Yeah, and to that point, you know, we did the first half of the album, Illusions, in the studio in Cleveland. And it was very cool the way we did it. We pretty much recorded the songs that we were going to record in Cleveland. We recorded them here. We let the producer we were working with hear them. Then we came up there a couple months later. And, you know, we had the studio booked for, what, 7 or 8 days?
Huh,
and
yeah.
We were done in 3.
Yeah, nice.
We were very prepared. He didn't have to come in and change a bunch of stuff. And
he was really blown away. Like, you guys showed up prepared, and we just played and walked out.
Yeah.
Man, I showed up after the second day that the guys were there recording the music. I recorded 3 songs in 1 day, and
wow.
then I didn't have anything to do
yeah.
for like 2 days. So I was just stuck in Cleveland by myself.
But again, that goes back to the fact of, you know, we had already, you know, come in and done kind of our organic recording ahead of time. We knew what we wanted
right.
to do, and just, you know, worked with the producer up there. And of course, he made a few, you know, enhancements and stuff, but very
well, that's pretty
studio.
Smart. That's smart, man. That is, you know. Like he said, he was on the town in Cleveland. Cleveland can don't let it fool you what you heard, folks. It can be a wild town if you're not careful. Oh man, I could tell. I have a couple good Cleveland stories, but that's another show. We'll skip it. I will say I'll give this little hint. That was one of the cities I've been woken up by a police officer tapping me on the forehead with a mag light.
Yeah,
but it was all right.
We went out a couple of nights. It was fun. Yeah.
Good luck. Good luck.
There you go. I mean, it wasn't 6th Street in Austin, but it was pretty good. I always have a pretty good time in Dallas.
A good thing for any bands listening, bring your swag with you. You can get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for free as long as you can prove you've got stuff to promote with.
Exactly. Very true. Very true.
Yep.
That's awesome.
That's
hey, a little tip
that's
there,
how we got
ladies
it.
And gentlemen. Nice. That's cool. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Till the tears run down from my eyes, Lord, somebody, ooh, somebody, can anybody find me somebody to love?
Alexa, play hits from Queen.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Aloha.
If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beattie, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Ruxgear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierox.us.
Hey folks, located in the hills of Tennessee, L'Apothecary Unique offers all natural, organic, gluten-free skincare, hair care products, perfumed oils, medicinal salves, makeup, incense, and aromatherapy items, bath salts, and even much more, including something special for the fellows, like beard and mustache balm, astringent, and aftershave. Each item is made to order just for you. So check out LapothecaryUnique.com, spelled L'ApothecaryUnique. L'ApothecaryUnique.com.
So with the new album, tell us the name of it, guys. What's this new one? It's out, right? Or is it coming out?
It's coming out.
It's coming out. Okay.
Yeah, the name of the new album is Reality. Because evidently I've been slapped back into it so high. Yeah, the tracks are in final mastering right now, so it'll be due out very soon.
Wow, very cool, very cool. And see, ladies and gentlemen, I told you it's a whole process on making an album. You got to do mastering, and there's a reason when you look at the back of a CD or an album or whatnot, and there's all that little teeny tiny print. All that stuff's important, and it goes into making that record.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Oh man,
when you're talking about the process of recording an album from beginning to end, to someone that it's not familiar with the industry or music in general,
right?
You know, they're just casual music fans. It's they're like, oh wow. I mean, every other word, wow, because yeah. I mean, it's just things that no one thinks about until in it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Me and my gal were going with some friends to a hockey game the other day, and we were in the car driving on the way to the arena, and we were talking about, you know, arenas and hockey games and what have you, and somebody asked me, they said, you know, they said, well, when they play the music at the hockey arena, you know, do they have to pay? I said, oh, yeah. A check has been written to BMI, you know. And you're listening to everybody clap your hands, that isn't free. Sparta? Yeah, no. Oh, man. But it's, you know, it's a cool business to be in. And no, let me ask you this, guys, because you guys, here you are. You're in this hot, successful band. It's you know, it's doing real well. Everybody's digging it. You know, it's just going right on up. Was this, did you guys, like, when you were kids, and doing like the high school thing or junior high or whatever, you know, little kids, was this the plan? Did you guys know that, you know, music, performing, this is what I'm going to be doing?
Oh gosh, no, I was dreaming that I would be a bum on a street corner somewhere. It came out of nowhere.
Well, that still could happen.
No, I'm kidding. I'm teasing.
He got reality in his high school dreams backwards. We'll go around the horn here. We'll start with Alan on that.
It's always a dream, especially when you're a kid. You get to look forward to something, right? Like, you love baseball.
Right.
You love those football guys. I mean, so in return, when you're listening to all those bands that influence you now, you see them on stage and they're on tour, you think it's so cool. I mean, of course, yeah, you want to be that. You know, like somebody asked me one time, do you want to be a rock star? I said, I don't want to be a rock star, but I want to make a living doing what I love, playing music.
All right.
So, and we're in that same direction.
Jeffrey?
I think my mom summed it up, said that I was a drummer before I was ever breathing on my own. Just in the womb, I was just basically bringing some Led Zeppelin. You know, as far as I can remember back, I always wanted a drum set. Counting my parents, every Christmas, I want a drum set. That's all I care about. We got you a bike. Don't want a damn bike. Want a drum set. So I finally got my drum set.
Right.
Annoyed the hell out of my parents and neighbors. But that's all I cared about. From that day was,
right,
this is the noise ever, and I need to figure out how to make it part of my life. And even if I wasn't in a band, I would still be playing drums. It's just the fact that you can play with guys you like, play music you dig, and hopefully people dig it too. You know, the hell, I was, like I said, I think it was before I was ever an actual
nice
human being breathing a drummer. So that's just how I look at it. So,
very cool.
My mom started me on piano when I was about four. And I played piano for a few years until I discovered soccer. And then I did not want to go take piano lessons after school. I wanted to go out and play.
Right.
But after a little bit of that, one of my friend's older brothers turned me on to a Kiss album. And I was like, what is this? And from that point on, I told my parents, you know, hey, I want to play music again. And they're like, well, what do you want to play? I said, either want to play drums or guitars. And they're like, no, you're not having either one of those. They're too loud. And so I end up playing trumpet. I'm like, all right, how's that not so loud? So that was to satisfy them because, you know, they didn't think guitar or drums were real instruments. So I knew that I wanted to play. And when I was, 12 years old, I started cutting lawns. And I saved all my money that summer and then did it again the summer I was 13 and then came home with an electric guitar. And then my parents were like, all right, I guess he really wants to play guitar. And I knew from that point that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah. And for me, man, I got pretty lucky because my dad and my two sisters back in Mexico all sang. My dad was a singer. And so, I mean, it was so almost like expected of me.
Right.
As a matter of fact,
family business.
In a recent trip to Mexico, my girlfriend got to hear my very first recording at 8 years old that my dad made of me singing my music. I could barely, you know, stay in key, but my timing was really good, and my dad kind of was the one that encouraged me to to go through and exploit my voice and you know, the talent. And so for me, it was just kind of, I knew it from that moment what I wanted to do. I was about 8, 9 years old, and, you know, that moment I was like, yeah, this is it. This is what I want to do. And I got to perform in front of my family and, you know, some friends, and, you know, I got that feeling like, wow, I want this feeling like for the rest of my life. So that's how it's been for me up until now and still there.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, you know, it's, I always ask my my musician friends. I tell you, all of my friends are either musicians or making movies. That's who I hang out with. Just because, you know, they have the best parties and whatnot. No, it's people crazy enough to hang out with me, I guess. I don't know. But it's fascinating to me. I was always the art guy in school. I was always drawing stuff. And then I remember me and my friends used to hang out at that Denny's. We all rented rooms from, like, you know, old ladies and stuff when we were first starting school, college and that. And we had nowhere to hang out. We couldn't hang out at any of our, because we just rented bedrooms, you know, pretty much. And so we'd hang out at this Denny's, and I was always drawing stuff or whatever. And this guy came up, a total stranger, and he said, "Hey, I'll give you $100 for that drawing." And it was all over for me. I was like, wow. He's working at a factory any day. Let's go. Who knows? Yeah.
Andrew,
fell
give
into
him,
the trap.
Oh, no, I already did. Oh. Oh yeah, being a bomb. Yeah. I think being a musician, you know, you're paid to be a bomb, so I'm going for it. Oh, Andrew's actually got a pretty good story behind his guitar playing, so let's get it in.
Wait,
there.
Do I?
Yeah, let's hear it, Andrew. We got plenty of time.
How to play guitar, dude.
Oh yeah, well, you know, yeah, no, actually, I was kind of like Mario. My dad, you know, played in a band. So I always had, you know, the support for being a musician. And I think it was just one of those kind of things that you always knew that you were going to be, you know, kind of like right. You, an artist, I think. But so my dad, you know, decided after a while to take me to guitar lessons, you know, to actually get me guitar lessons. And the guitar teacher at the music store we went to was actually Daryl Abbott, who later went on to become Dimebag Daryl. So,
I
had a teacher.
That's pretty awesome. Oh man, that is cool. Talk about, that's a big icon, especially that part of the country. Well, all over, really. Everybody, you know, is, of course, you know, tragic what all went down and everything. But man, what a, you know, that's like saying, oh yeah, I learned how to play the guitar from like Randy Rowe, you know, somebody of that nature. That's
right,
cool.
Yeah, definitely.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime. And treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit makingcancerhistory.com.
Hey guys, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, last year I was on holiday with my girlfriend Danny. We were at Disney World and having a great time. It's the happiest place on earth. And I dropped my vape, just like a Butterfingers, and it was a pain in the neck. They just don't have anything there to replace it and whatnot. So we had to drive 45 minutes each way to get a new one. And, you know, that's an hour and a half out of our day, man. But anyway, that wouldn't have happened because if I would have had this fantastic new product, the C-Ring. It's very, very cool. What it is it attaches to your vape, designed to protect your investment with comfort, flexibility while doing your day-to-day activity. What it does is it goes in there, you put your finger in there, and you hold it, and you're not dropping your vape, breaking it and whatnot. It's very, very cool, and if you need both hands, they have a lanyard you can hook to, and it's awesome. The C-Ring, you can find out more about it and pick one up at their website, www.thecring.com. Again, that's www.thecring.com. Be smart, be like me, get a C-Ring if you're a vapor. Very, very good. Oh, and hey, holidays are coming up, man. This is a very cool gift for somebody. If you have somebody on your shopping list that vapes like I do, get them a C-Ring. Thecring.com. Now, we should let people know. We've got the, first of a couple things. We have a link up on our show page to darkavenueband.com. That's their website, ladies and gentlemen. It's very easy to get to, darkavenueband.com. And even after the show tonight, when this is converted to a podcast, we put out on all the various podcast players and streams and all over the place, that link follows the show. So if you're listening to the show in the future when it's a podcast, thank you for listening. But that link is right there. You can click on it and get right to their website and whatnot. It's a very, very cool website, too, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. There's lots of cool photos and videos and all kinds of stuff on there, upcoming shows. And you guys have a new single. Now, when did the single drop? It's out right now. People can pick this up, right? Don't Hold On?
It is. Yeah, Don't Hold On. We dropped it right before Rocklahoma.
Okay. Okay, so they can – so it's out there. And people can get this. This is a kick-ass fucking song. This is, excuse my language, ladies and gentlemen. It's very, very cool. Now tell us a little bit about this, and then we'll, or should we play it and then talk about it, or should we talk about it first and lead up to it? How do you guys want to do it?
Man, let's listen to it.
Awesome. Here it is, everybody. I got it queued up right here. This is Don't Hold On, Dark Avenue. Check this out, and then we're going to talk a little bit about it. Here it is.
I can't
is, folks. What did I tell you? What did I tell you? What a fantastic track. That's Dark Avenue, Don't Hold On. Man, guys, that's such a good track.
Woo. Thank you.
Wow, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And you guys, you know, we're not fibbing either. You know, that definitely has some, yeah, it's rocket. You know, that's very cool. And Mario's vocals, just icing on the cake with that, man. That's very, very cool. I dig that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, everybody, Mario's vocals, everybody's music just is you're, the musician quality of work on that, just so good. So good. That's very cool. Now, when you're coming up with a track like Don't Hold On, I mean, you guys, I kind of got the gist earlier when we were talking about the process of writing and whatnot, but you guys do the music. Is there specific parts of the music that come first, like the guitar, or does Alan and Jeff lay down the rhythm first, or how did that
happen? It depends. There's sometimes where I want to be playing around with the riff, or Barry, sometimes like, hey guys, I got this beat in my head, let me play it out for you, this is what I'm thinking, kind of push it that way. We've written literally some songs in a matter of minutes just because for some reason it all just clicked.
Actually, Don't Hold On was one of those. I had like the rhythm, but Andrew had this one riff, and Jeff's like, hang on. Let me click this off where you play that riff again, which became the opening riff. Jeff had him, you know, he liked what Andrew was just kind of fiddling around with, and he goes, well, hang on, try to play it with what I'm clicking on the hi-hat. And so we had that riff, and that just kind of fell right into this other riff that Jeff and I had already been jamming that day. And then the next thing we know, we've got that, you know, the basics to that song in what, 20, 30 minutes?
I was late to rehearsal, and I show up, and they have a whole song. I'm like, how did this happen?
That's awesome. You know, it's funny because people, well, I'm sure, like in my world, people, they see the finished product, and they're like, nothing was on TV last night. He just knocked that out. And that's fine, you know, because they see the finished product. They don't know. And in your guys' case, I'm sure they hear the finished product. And I don't know if it's this way with you guys. But, man, when you're telling me that and everything's coming in, it reminds me that sometimes happens with my paintings. And it's great. And I celebrate that because that ain't always the case, man. Sometimes I fight these and I want to throw them in the street.
Yeah. We had a couple of those.
You know. But but it's funny because the public has no idea. You know, they're like, yeah, it looks great. And I'm like, no idea.
You know, we've recorded tons of ideas, and the ones that stick, you kind of keep going with. The other ones, they just kind of fall by the wayside. But it's always fun to kind of go back to that old recording and say, hey, why didn't we ever do anything with that riff? And then you're thinking about it, well, actually, we are using that riff. It just sounds a little bit different because it ended up being in this song. So it's kind of the same process. Some songs come really quickly. Some it takes a little bit longer. But once you take the journey and you get to the end result, it's worth it.
That's fantastic. That's very, very true. And it's, you know, I've led a colorful life, man. I've had some adventures. And I tell you, there's no I've had a lot of shots. We'll put it that way. There's none quite as sweet and quite as good as when it could everything comes together and it's right and it's finished, you know, and you can look at it and go, that's how it needs to be. It's hard to beat that, you know. I imagine for you guys playing on stage maybe is the big impetus, you know, the big drive. I would imagine. I don't know, you know. That's got to be a cool feeling. It sure looks cool when you guys are doing it. You know, I've seen YouTube videos.
I've heard some musicians, you know, say that playing on stage is this a means to an end to get into the studio and record. For me, it's definitely the other way around. You know, to me, the stage, like you said, is the big end of the road or whatever. I mean, that's kind of, you know, to me, putting out the album is a good excuse for us to get out on stage and play some more.
I gotcha. Well, it's cool, and I don't want to sound, you know, this will sound really New Agey or California or something, but man, I've been to those shows where you'll see a band and they've got this fantastic energy, and it's just everybody, all the pistons are firing, the cylinders are going, and like that energy bounces out to the crowd. The crowd eats it up. They love it. And then they increase it and throw it back to the band. And this ping pong, this tennis match starts happening. And it just builds and builds and builds. That's magic, man, when you see that happen. I've never seen it in any other art form.
We try to come out with all as much as energy as we can, give it to the crowd. Mm. And if they try to give it back, well, we just give them more. And then it just turns into this overwhelming, and everyone's having a great time. That's the biggest part of it. It's tough when you play in front of some people that are just staring at you.
I was gonna say I've been to shows where that didn't happen. They had an off night. That's all I'm saying. But it's true. We've all seen those shows. You know, we've been to shows where some people, that's just how they are. They haven't figured it out yet, or maybe that's just how it is. And you know, where they just come out and stand there, and you're like, man, I could have stayed home. The drinks were cheaper. You know, I like to see a show. I dig that. You know, if I'm getting gussied up, man, I want to see some hustle. Let's go.
That's one thing. And Jeff's always been a big proponent of this. Is, man, these people paid their hard-earned money to get in here tonight, and we're going to give them the show that they deserve. And that's something that's always rung true with us. And we do this thing right before we go on stage. Mario usually started off and goes, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's 2 people or 20 people or 200 people or 2,000 people or 20,000 people, they're all going to get the same show.
It's just
and you have to.
You got to go out there, give 110%.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah.
This is so
much fun. You know, playing live is what we do all the rehearsals for, and why we record all the albums and all the songs, you know, so we can show it up. So it's fun for us, and, you know, and hopefully, you know, people come to see our shows, see that on stage, and, you know, and the response has been great, man. Every time we finish a show, every time, you know, we come down and start talking to the crowd, it's always the same. It's like, you guys look like you're having so much fun, and you sound great, and, you know.
Yeah, I think we've all been to that show of that band we admired, and it feels like they mail it in and didn't care.
Mm.
I don't know. I never want to be known as that. Oh, man, you don't want to go see them. They just stood up there like a bunch of trees and didn't do dick. You know. My wife, her friends went to see The Cure when they came through Dallas.
I was just thinking about that. Oh my God, that's so
my
weird.
My wife was like, they just stood there for 2.5 hours and literally wanted to blow my head off. That was so cool. And they paid a lot of money for these tickets. You know?
Right.
A lot of freaking money. And she's like, don't you ever let your band do that. I was like, there's no way in hell I would be in a band. You know, I'm not saying
it's so true.
It's just one top of mind topic, you know, because there are bands that do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And, you know, one thing that Andrew, Alan, and Barry, and to an extent Mario, they do is they're not just standing on stage left, stage right. They're moving.
Right.
They're walking the floor. They're interacting with people. Unfortunately, as a drummer, I can't really do that unless we got some really sick roller coaster kind of shit rolling on stage. You know?
Right.
But, you know, but that's the one thing we always do. Hey, if we're going to have fun, we're going to make sure the crowd has fun. Because why are we up here if we're just going to be sticks in the mud? I mean, that's stupid.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. I don't know if your wife was visiting Detroit, Michigan at the Cobo Arena, but I was at that show, and it sucked. They all came. I'll never forget. They all came out. You know, it was all, you know, they had this little thing. They came out on stage, and this video was playing, and it's all psychedelic. And I don't know. The drummer was drunk and tripped over the drums and kicked the whole kit over. And so they had to stop everything, rebuild the kit, take them all off stage, have them come out again. And then they just stood there for 2 hours. I was like, man, this, I'm paying for this? And not only was I paying, I'd splashed out on a date. Paid for her, too. Yeah. That evening did not go well. There wasn't a lot of smooching after that. No. It wasn't a Dark Avenue show, I'm telling you.
Oh, no.
Hey, we should mention, folks, we mentioned the website, darkavenueband.com. And when you get there, if you scroll down to the bottom of the page, doesn't say, it's very easy to do. It's just a couple, take your mouse down or on your, if you're on your phone, just zip down. There's links to all of Dark Avenue's social media. And they're on everything, baby. Well, they're even on Google+. Look at that. I'm not making fun. I am too. But I suggest you, it's very important, and people not in the business maybe don't know this. If you dig a band or an indie film or whatever, anybody, it's so important. There's a thing called engagement in promoters and venues and everybody that always comes up. And what that means is you dig a band, like their social media pages, like and share. Chances are your friends will dig it too. And it really helps bands out. It's just part of the music business landscape these days. So be sure to do that. Very, very important. No, go ahead.
I said absolutely. And please go like our face page and our Twitter and follow us on Twitter and Instagram. And
message us.
Yeah, we get messages all the time. We love talking to people.
Watch our videos.
That's awesome.
Yeah, go to YouTube, join the channel on YouTube, and watch those.
See what happens.
Yeah.
You'll
like
laid.
Our pictures. It makes us feel pretty.
Yeah.
Hell, do a karaoke to one of our songs and video it and send it to us.
That's right. And I'm looking on the website, too. When you're on Pandora, you can stream Dark Avenue on Pandora now, too. How about that?
Yeah,
huh?
Absolutely.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Very.
Yeah, and you Spotify.
Very, very cool.
And we should be available on TouchTunes at your favorite pool hall these days. And
nice.
So anywhere that you can find quality music, you better be able to find us and punch us up, or we'll punch you out.
Or they will come find you. Nice.
You don't like my music, so I'll fuck you up.
Enough to remember, man, it used to be, it wasn't always that way where you could talk to musicians and bands and stuff like that, man. You'd have to wait outside a venue for 5 hours and, read a lot of liner notes or magazines. They had all these magazines that you could sometimes find information about a band out. But man, there was no, there were certainly no Facebook pages back in the day. It's cool that you can do that now, that there's access to it, to you guys.
Yep.
Now, you guys have some pretty big-time sponsors on your website as well. Should we mention them?
Absolutely. Jeff's has an endorsement deal with Sultan Cymbals. And
nice.
What's your sticks? Silver Fox sticks. And we have a... Yeah, and we're looking for another stick manufacturer as well.
Hit.
And
very cool.
We have a relationship with Zemaitis Guitars, and Andrew's a very proud player of a beautiful Zemaitis.
Love that guitar. Plays like butter.
Yeah.
You see that guitar in the video? Hold on.
Yes, you can. It is prominently featured.
Very cool.
In the and
nice.
We have a... endorsement with Intune GP for our guitar picks, and
they never slip,
man, and they're awesome, and we all use them. And let's see, we have a relationship with Audio Technica, and who else we have relationships?
Dean Markley, USA.
Nice. Well, there you go, folks. See, now when you just it's all it takes. Make a band, get all these good deal endorsement deals and stuff, fly around, date models. It's the dream, baby. It's the dream. No, it's reality for these guys.
What
a lot of hard work.
Did I miss that endorsement? Did I miss the Playboy endorsement where they send over a couple supermodels every week?
That's right.
Thanks.
Yeah, I think it kind of went away. I don't know. It used to be. Oh, man. No, but I mean, it's funny, you know, because it's when you're a kid and you see all this stuff, like all my friends growing up, they all wanted to be guitar players. You know, that was the dream. And that's what they thought they would be doing is just, you know, flying around in Learjets and partying all the time. And the reality is, a lot of the guys I know that are doing, you know, like you guys and whatnot, you know, it's a lot of hard work. A lot of work.
It is. Learjet at the Volkswagen bus, you know. No caviar, it's chips, QT. Hey, you know,
my wrists hurt, fingers hurt, my elbows hurt.
Nice. Well, it's awesome, though. Very, very cool. Now, do you guys have any shows we should mention coming up, or are we just doing promo for the new album right now?
We're just doing promo for the new album right now. We just played with Striper the other night, and that was the last of a run of shows, and we have a bunch of tentative dates that we're booked up, but nothing firm that we're gonna broadcast just yet.
I gotcha. Well, if you guys ever get down South Florida way, you know, we're 10 minutes from the beach, and I always tell my musician friends that they're like, yeah, the beach smeech. I'm like, well, we have a guest room, and they're like, and then I get it. Here's the gold part, because guys on tour or people on tour, they seem to like this. We have a washer and dryer, and two showers.
Yeah,
and you got us, man. You had us at washer and dryer, homie.
And my gal's Italian, so you know, there's pretty good shell around too.
So. Oh, nice.
Well, you see me. I'm not wasting away. There's good reason for that.
Right.
Very, very cool.
We're looking forward to playing everywhere possible.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, you guys know this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Just keep doing what you're doing, man. You're awful good at it. You're real good at it. And
thank you.
I can't wait
thank
to hear
you.
More.
Awesome.
So I'm looking forward when the album drops. It's going to be awesome. Very, very cool. Keep working
it,
man.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
We will.
And I really appreciate you guys taking time to be on the show tonight. You know, I know you're busy and getting everybody together is kind of crazy sometimes, but it is awesome. And that's going to, we're right up at the time. Before we go, ladies and gentlemen, a couple things I just want to mention. If you are in a band, if you are doing some creative project or whatnot, and you need help on the PR side, well, Curtain Call are real good people to have in your corner. So I'm not really sure how that business works. You know, get a hold of Angela, pick up her dry cleaning, wash your dogs, do what you got to do. No, I'm kidding, of course. Usually, I imagine it involves writing a check, but do that anyway. Get in touch with them because they are real good people to know. And we have a link to them up on our show page as well. This show, of course, will be converted to a podcast and pushed on all the various social media platforms and streaming sites. Well, it'll even be up on Apple Podcasts. How about that? If you're listening to the show in the future, hello from the past, do me a favor. This helps me out. It's that whole engagement thing, man, I was talking about. There's a ratings and review. It doesn't cost you anything. Hit that, especially on Apple Podcasts. It keeps us up at the top of the page. And frankly, what that translates to is, when I talk to our advertisers, it makes my job way easier. So I appreciate that. And, you know, we like having electricity and all those kinds of things. So very, very cool. Well, we are going to gonna wrap it up for us tonight. We will be back live. What is today? Today's Tuesday. We will be back live Thursday. I've got a thing tomorrow night. So no live show tomorrow night, but I am doing a pre-record with a very cool band out of Sweden, who is an Irish punk band. The lead singer is Irish, everybody else is Swedish. Yeah, that's crazy. they had a great hit off their last album where they all got drunk and they went back to the bar to drink some more, but they made a mistake and it happened to be a church they went into. And they're called Sir Reg. Look it up on YouTube. It's hilarious. Haven't we all been there before? No, I'm teasing, kind of. That's going to do it for us tonight, folks. Dark Avenue, Dark Avenue Bands, the website. Go over there, like all their social media. Very important. And, man, just follow this band because everything is going to be that's coming out is going to be really good. You know, Don't Hold On is a great single. So,
thank you.
Thanks, guys, again, for being on the show. And, you know, best to all. And really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Everybody have a great night, and we will see you on Thursday. Bye.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.